from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, dear listener, we're going to talk about learning in the flow of work. And we're going to talk about it because I've got a problem with it and I need to share it with my learned friend, Nigel, who's going to hopefully put me right on a few things. So, learning in the flow of work, it seems to be becoming a thing in the learning sector. People are talking about it a lot. I hear it's at conferences, the vendor community is talking about it, practitioners are talking about it. It's not a new thing. It's been talked about in the past, but it seems to be quite popular at the moment. And I'm just thinking, well, what is it? I don't actually know what it is. And I'm slightly concerned that I might be alone here in thinking this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because for all my time, say, in a corporate job, no one ever mentioned learning in the flow of work. So I'm wondering, was I doing it myself? You know, did I develop myself and the teams I worked with? No L&D person in the organisations I worked in said, learning in the flow of work is a thing. This is what it is. We're going to do it to you, or we're going to enable it. No, that wasn't ever mentioned. So are we just talking about something that individuals do who are quite clear about what they have to do in their job and how to do it, and they are just accessing the things they need when they need it? So we're doing it anyway. So it's not a thing. It's kind of just happening. Or are we talking about the fact that L&D teams are going to start doing something and the vendor community is going to start offering something that is going to kind of be delivered and potentially get in the way of my work because it's going to be irritating because I don't need that thing right now. What's going on, Nigel? What is learning in the flow? What does it actually look like? I'm mystified.
Let me try and help, Martin. Well, the first point is the obvious point, which it's not just one thing. And if anyone thinks you can buy a product that will supply learning in the flow of work, you are sadly and strongly deluded. However, let's go through the various aspects of learning in the flow of work. Some of them are, if you like, product-based. For example, I am working away on some company system and I have to do something that I'm not familiar with, and I can't remember how to do it. Now, I can stop work, push back, get out a handbook, or go online and search how the hell do you do this, and go work it out. I can shout, Pete, do you know how the hell you do that? And so, but basically completely interrupt my workflow. And then I come back in having either solved it or not solved it, and then I continue the work. That isn't learning in the flow of work, funnily enough. What you have got on many, many systems now is when you get to a point where you're stuck, there's a little I button or something or a question mark icon. You click that and it says, if you're trying to do this, you need to do this, 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 and this. Click here. So you click there and you follow it through. You move on to the next thing. So in the flow of your work, you've been helped to overcome a lack of knowledge or something you've forgotten or something that you're having to do for the first time. So you build up your expertise in the workflow, in the doing, without any interruptions. And people love that because there's nothing more frustrating in getting to a place and going, what do I do now? And having to work out, where do I go to get help? Stand up, help me, or go for the manual or go somewhere else, you know, all of that. So that's one thing, that's learning in the flow of work. But learning in the flow of work is also the enabling, the cultural enabling of conversations in the workplace. So for example, if I say, Martin, what do you think we should do about this case here? I'm not going to get wrapped over the knuckles because I have interrupted Martin. I've stopped doing work on my own. I have interrupted everyone else. Learning in the flow of work is where we have seamless conversations. We work more as teams, more as teams who help each other and solve problems. And we continue the process almost seamlessly. So I have a chat with you about this case study or this customer. We agree that it's probably quite complicated and we should run it past Peter or Jane. We chat to Jane about it in whatever way possible. We continue the work. We make a decision. We move on. So that is learning kind of seamlessly as part of the process of engagement. Not, I'm not allowed to do that. I have to work it out on my own. I have to file a request. I have to send an email asking permission to talk to Martin. All of the things that workplaces throw into the spanners they throw in the works that force people to have to make decisions on their own that they don't want to make or not competent to make, and where knowledge is not shared. So that's the second thing, that enabling of conversations. The third thing is the way work is actually designed. So that instead of work being designed as separate individual processes, you design work to be a different kind of experience. So that if we're working four of us, I'm good at doing this, I'm good at doing the quant stuff. You, Martin, are good at doing the qual stuff. Someone else is really good at doing the summary, the executive summary, whatever it might be. So we don't think of work as being one thing aimed at me. We think of learning from each other in the flow of the work that we do. So we get better and better, more and more expert, because while I'm doing what I do, you're learning what I do, I'm learning from you. So we have a continuous process of learning from each other as we go in work. And all of that is the opposite of, right, Martin, we've booked you on this empathy course next Friday because you were rude to Jane and you've upset her and she's gone to CHR. So you leave your work, you go and attend, you know, one day, 6 hours, 1 hour, 10 minutes, whatever it might be, and you learn outside the work context. And whether you can transfer what you learn into work is a moot point. And we talked about the report by Will Torheimer saying that's actually quite complicated. But the whole point about learning in the flow of work is there is a seamless process of working and learning. So in some ways, the old quote from Harold Jarkey, work is learning and learning is work, materializes and becomes meaningful. So don't let anyone tell you it's one thing. Don't let anyone tell you it's really trivial and simple. And don't anyone tell you that it doesn't involve big cultural decisions within an organization to create the kind of permissions and the radical shake-up of what we think about as work and what we think about as an individual work. So that's my take. And I don't know whether that makes any sense to you at all, Martin.
It does, and thank you for that. And I think a couple of things for me. One is just recognizing that, you know, you are learning from your work all the time, right? So I think that's a part of this. But that leads me on to I've got one more question, is what does all that mean for learning and development teams? Because so much of what you've just said has got nothing to do with designing and delivering learning programs or training or anything to do with that. So what is it when we talk about it, and it's more than one thing, what are you doing as a L&D professional?
It's a good point. I think where it does have something directly to do with input is when you're putting together some kind of performance support for a system. So you need experts and you need to kind of work out what you're telling people to do and how you organize that. So you could say that's a kind of orthodox role. But everything else is the bigger picture stuff. It's about L&D plugged into business performance and focusing not on courses, not on people formally learning, but on improving business performance. And the one thing you can absolutely guarantee, and there's lots of evidence to support that, is that when you end up with a culture where learning is in the flow of work, productivity increases, general expertise increases, people like the work more, they enjoy the work that they're having to do, and they learn shed loads every single day of their working life. Not true generally in the workplace. So it's bigger picture L&D. And, you know, if you've got L&D focusing on, well, catalogues of courses or developing courses or e-learning and all those kinds of things, you'll never ever rise up to look at what is the business trying to do, what is the performance we're trying to build, and how do people fit into all of that. That's the bigger issue for L&D, and I think you're right that many L&D departments, not necessarily because they want that, but are put in a pigeonhole where you go develop that course, and if you're not doing that, you're wasting your time. That's the tragedy, if you like, that we're not enough people see the value of what we've just talked about.
Nigel, that is fantastic. Let's leave it there for this week.
Martin, thank you. Always good to talk.
From scratch.